This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, Carm here. Welcome to the 201st episode of the Town Hall Academy, bringing you the industry's finest and premier original content. Hey, thanks so much for being here and grabbing some business perception. You know, we'll continue to strive and bring you unparalleled ideas with and for the automotive aftermarket. There's a lot of variables when we talk about shop efficiency. There's culture, environment, leadership, systems, and more. Now, there's no single formula that can solve shop efficiency. You know that. But if there are the right guidelines, our panel today certainly has the answers. A big fat thank you to Chris Monroe, Joe Marconi, and Kevin Vaught for sharing their expertise for you. So many small things done right makes for improved efficiency. Hey, grateful to Shop Marketing Pros and Shopware for sponsoring the Academy. Now more than ever, you're focused on bringing cars through your bays safely and efficiently. Shopware's shop management system offers a completely contactless workflow. Your customers can review, approve, and even pay for the repairs right from their smartphone or personal device. Request a demo and see them in action at GetShopware.com. Are you tired of your cookie-cutter website? Is it bringing you new clients? Well, let our friends at Shop Marketing Pros create a website that is as unique as your shop is. On the web at ShopMarketingPros.com. Hey, the key talking points from this episode are already done for you, written up, yep, on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/A201. It makes a great roundtable discussion for the team. There's a ton of great information and special ways to find an episode that you want to hear all on remarkableresults.biz website. You can search, scour the series, or even hit the keywords to find a topic of interest. And also see all the Carmcasts and Aftermarket Weekly virtual shop tours. Now, during your next lunch break, click remarkableresults.biz and watch or listen. Now, here, two shop owner coaches and a full-time business coach and former multi-shop owner share their stories on shop efficiency. Learn from the systems and processes that have worked for them and how you can improve your efficiency. It's a great opportunity here to be able to listen to Chris, Joe, and Kevin. Chris Monroe, Monroe Tire and Service, Shelby, North Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Carm. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for bringing this to me. I'll break the secret. A lot of these shows come from the audience and come from friends that I have. It says, hey, Carm, have you covered this? Because I have a pain point. I know some people that are struggling. I, as a coach, talk about this a lot. Let's bring it to the industry. And so this came from Chris. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
By the way, all three of our gentlemen here today have a commonality, and that is that they're either part-time or full-time elite worldwide coaches. Joe Marconi, Osceola Garage, Baldwin Place, New York. And Joe was in episode 11 on May 2015, and we're nearing, on Christmas Day, the 600th episode of Remarkable Results. And Joe, that's when I got to know you. And let me just tell you this. We broke it up into two episodes, 11 and 12. And this guy, Joe Marconi, told one of the most transparent and emotional stories about his start in business that I've ever heard. It's still one of my favorite, Joe. And if I ever say to somebody, you want to hear what real storytelling is about, you need to listen to Joe Marconi because you're an expert at that. Kevin Vaught, elite worldwide business development coach and former multi-shop owner. You must know something about what we do here. Golly.
Just a tad.
And let me tell you that we don't do a Town Hall Academy unless my guests come in and say, hey, this is what I'd love to talk about. And I've had a chance to observe all of this, and they're going to nail it for you. Absolutely nail it. Let me tell a quick story, 30 seconds. Back in the day when I had my business, I turn off the lights, lock the door, and stand inside and try to remember all the activity of the day. And when I remember that activity of the day, I was looking for log jams. I was looking for problems that existed. I was looking at that really worked. I like that and that doesn't. And because we implemented this, this got in the way. And so I was always a systems improvement ideas person when I was just trying to tweak that. And that's what we're really here to talk about, being able to recognize the pain points and deal with them. Right, Chris?
Absolutely. We spend a lot of time, and I listen to a lot of these shows and talking about process, but incorporating the right talent, the right facility, the right tools, putting all that together is really what we're talking about. And if you really step back and pay attention to what your shop is doing, but more importantly, how it's doing it. You know, there's days you want to take the back roads and the curvy roads, and there's days you want to get on the super slab and just get to the destination. And, you know, I think in business, we want to be as efficient and, you know, deliver the product to our customer. And it's everybody's on time. Everybody's, you know, we're all struggling with time. So I think that being able to design your shop and your facility and looking at how people move through that shop and facility, I think it's one of the most important things we can do.
I totally agree with that. And I think the biggest component there is recognizing the issues. You got to step back and you got to be able to see it. 90% of the solution to any problem is recognizing the problem, right? The fix is relatively easy. Most cases, the fix is relatively easy. The problem is taking that step backwards and observing. You know, I if you had a second, I had a client one time just not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, that I've been begging him. He's to the point now where he needs to step back more. And I've been begging him. I said, just go out there and just watch what goes on all day long. Just observe. You know, just
be
a fly on the wall. Just observe. Well, I'd like to tell you that he took my advice and did that, but this particular instance happened by accident. He happened to be, his manager happened to be out there, and he's been moving his station. They get built, added on their building. They've been moving his workstation. Well, he noticed this one technician walking back and forth all the time. Well, it was a simple placement of a vice, but they were so close to force. They never, it wasn't a problem for them. That's just what they did. They walked 100 steps to the vice and 100 steps back every time.
We've done shows on lean. I love the fact that we have a ladder and it hangs on the wall. And when the person used it last to climb up to get a scan tool, they never put it back. So the next person, they walked all over the shop. And you know, Kevin, to your point, if you take a yellow pad and you look at the wasted time about where maybe we need two vices, one at the end of the shop and one at the front of the shop, you add up all those paces, walks, worries, you end up finding hours of productivity in a week.
Hours. You're exactly correct. Point, what that really reinforced to me is just go back to the basics, right? Every time, just go back to the basics. Yeah. And that is observe and see where you're at. Watch, as Chris said, watch every movement of every process you have throughout the day. It just takes time. That's all. Once you do that, boy, the fix is easy.
For me, people that know me, I always go back to the people aspect of it, because in my 40 years in business, I tell you, the most efficient, productive teams were the teams that were the most, had the most unity, where the culture was all coming together. It all starts with the right people. From what you guys are saying, it all starts with the right people and it ends with the right people. The stronger the team, the more potential for high efficiency and productivity. And I can tell you that technology will never replace the people aspect. Technology will only enhance it. I embrace technology. We all should embrace technology. We got to try. We got to see what works for us. Not everything's going to work for you, but technology, and what Kevin said and Chris said, I agree with them 100%. You got to take that view. You got to utilize what's going on in the shop, organization. But let me tell you something. It's just like a football team or a baseball team. Great stadiums, fancy plays on a football team, they don't win championships. All right. The workout room, the fancy, they don't win championships. The players on the field, they win championships. And it's no different from your shop. It's the players on the field that are going to win for you. So use technology, embrace technology, but don't ever think that that's going to take the place of the people that actually are going to execute those processes and that organization.
What I love about this team, when I studied your notes and in the before we went live, here's what I know. Joe is going to bring the people passion to this podcast, and Kevin and Chris are going to bring the systems and the process side, and it's going to be balanced wonderfully. Now, as I was looking through, and by the way, if you're on Facebook with us and you have a question for this panel or a comment, please, we can see it in here in the studio. I saw you guys talk about radios. What are we using them for?
That's something that we started a year and three months ago. Bought some radios off of Amazon, 10 of them, rechargeable, $170. And as usual, you put something new in the shop. Yeah, it's a toy. You got five guys that are trying to figure out how to look like the Secret Service, and you got two guys that are calling you crazy. And short story is, we go 3 months into this thing, and the guys that had resisted realized that they were having to really hunt for information that everybody else already knew. So they became adopters. Well, now we have guys that are, introverted, don't like radio talk. They're on the radio talking, and it's a very streamlined. We've formatted it to you say exactly what you need to say. You ask a question. There's no storytelling. You know, you keep it 10-4. You acknowledge things, but it just keeps that back and forth communication. Whereas before, it's like the vice strip, like you're talking about, Kevin. It's you walk across the shop to the window and you have to ask, where's the hubcap key or the wheel lock key, or, you know, just time and you key the radio and hang on, I'll check, boom. You know, they can keep doing what they're doing. The other thing we did with the radio piece was we put door operators in. We have 7 garage doors, and so they were all manual. So we had those automated, and the guys can open them. So it took 2 guys to pull a car in. Well, every time, you know, we have 5 months that we have the doors down, you know, because of the cool weather. So put those in. The service manager now has 7 buttons. Somebody says, could somebody open door 4? He just reaches up, hits door 4. The door opens. Everybody else is still working. I mean, you know, what we're talking about is just paying attention to the obvious, right? But we need to be reminded that these little things are cumulative. They add up. I was just doing some numbers. We've taken 7.5 hours out of our week of shop time. We used to work straight through lunch. Now we close production for an hour. We've been doing that for 2 years. 2 months ago, I started closing at 5 o'clock. Joe and I talked about that.
Yeah.
But I asked for 2 more hours of production. So we've removed 7.5 hours of our guys being on the floor. So they're in production 40 hours a week. Their productivity has gone up right at 20%. And I tell you that, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that there's a reason to do this, not just because it's cool, but it works.
You know, let's face it, the audience that listens to these podcasts are generally a little more sophisticated than just the guys at the entry level. So you do get to a point that you're nitpicking. I tell clients that all the time. The home runs are gone, right? Those were done early on in your business. What we're doing now is base hits. And so you are nitpicking. You are looking at every little single process.
Yeah, little wins.
Yeah, because the big wins are already done. You know, and the more sophisticated and the more advanced that a shop owner gets, the more he has to become a nitpicker because the big things are already exposed.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Kevin Vaught shares his approach on how to recognize a problem. Hey, today's pandemic is causing so much stress and uncertainty for everyone right now, especially shop owners. Now, how do I make sure that my staff and my customers stay protected while still moving cars through the bays? Contactless service is our new normal, and having a shop management system that not only supports this, but actually helps your business thrive through it all is key. Shopware's digital workflow with remote pay will provide that solution for you. Amy Matnett from Auto Craftsman recently commented on social media, and I quote, "I can't even express how grateful I am that I jumped on board with Shopware on January 1st. Would have never guessed that I would be the only one writing service at my shop, as I haven't worked in the shop for the last 15 years. But she goes on and says, I'm running my shop nonstop every day with Shopware to help me not only get the job done easier and faster, but am totally wowing my customers." End quote. Hey, if you want to wow your customers too, request a demo at getshopware.com. Hey, Carm here. Are your competitors ranking higher than you in search? Is your marketing company using plain vanilla recycled content? And does your marketing look like every other shop's and you're not even sure it's working? Powerful, effective marketing is not cookie cutter. It should showcase all of the things that are unique about your business. Don't you think you deserve better results? It's time to make a change. Our good friends at Shop Marketing Pros are past shop owners and industry veterans. They get it. Their process is pretty simple. Listen, create, and do. They spend time getting to know you and create a unique marketing message and then do the heavy lifting for you so you can do what you do best, run a shop and fix cars. Do yourself a favor. Give your shop the top-notch marketing it deserves. Schedule a call today on the web at shopmarketingpros.com. That's shopmarketingpros.com. Don't wait. Do it now. I wrote down, why do we resist new systems and processes? Why is it only the top 20% that are saying, hey, I just found the golden vein?
That's the age-old problem. And I think in defense of many shop owners, they're too entrenched in the day-to-day.
That's right.
I mean, we've all been there. I was there too in the, you know, many years ago in the 80s. And when you're entrenched, when you're in the battlefield, you can't see what the other people see. And until you make that move to, you know, try to step away from the trenches and into the office, and then it's very difficult. I think that more and more shop owners, Carm, are coming around, and the new breed is welcoming the new technology and understanding leadership and cultivating your people. But, you know, you'll always have some of that, Carm, but I think to your point, it's there, but it's getting better.
But when someone comes to Elite Worldwide as a client, I mean, that's your job.
Oh, we push them.
That's the most difficult thing to do, Carm, quite frankly. And the reason for that, as you said, why do they resist it? I'm not sure they resist the new process so much. I think they just don't know where to start, and they don't get going. And there's no instant gratification from writing a policy or procedure. Let's face it, there's no gratification there. There's gratification when you take the hose out and put the fire out, right?
I agree.
There's instant gratification you put that fire out, but there's zero gratification when you sit here and write a procedure that is meant for three or four months down the road, or a year down the road, several years down the road.
So I think kind of dead on.
I think the two things that make that policies and procedures so resistant, number one, they just frankly don't know where to start, honestly. And it's overwhelming if you think you're going to do it all in one sit down. It doesn't happen, right?
Oh, no.
And so what's your advice? Yellow pad, sit on the stool, or hey, guys, we have to do this. I need your input. The buy-in, I think, is critical, isn't it?
I get my clients started armed by just start with little things. What's your opening closing procedure? What's your telephone procedure? Just write it down. Well, just write it down in bullet points. You know, if they start getting narrative, then it gets out of control. If you just make bullet points, it's easier for them to get started. And then once they get one done, it's a win, right? Check that win off. And now they feel good and say, oh, I can do another one. So that's how I do it. I don't know how Joe does it.
I agree with that. You got to start small, Kevin. You're right. You can't take this huge process, this huge problem that you're having, if it's huge, and think you're going to overcome it in a week or so. You got to take one bit at a time and one thing at a time, and then make it build upon itself. But Carm, to your point, people are going to resist. When you implement a process, people are going to resist. It's natural. So you have to get them involved. The process has to be shared. It has to be collectively done within your team. If not, then why take ownership of it? When a technician says, let's move the balancer and the tire machine next to the alignment bay, all right? Once he or she says that, they take ownership of that, right? They take ownership. And then when the rest of the team says, the boss or manager is listening to Larry, then they're not afraid to implement. If you don't get the team involved with production, that's what I was saying before. You have to have the right people. Then once you have the right people, you got to spend a lot of time cultivating them and listening to them, encouraging them, and getting them on board. Because what you think matters, it does matter, but it also matters what your team thinks and their perspective of how things should be run. You don't have all the answers. You never will. You never did have all the answers. But a lot of the answers to your problems are found in the shop, the people that work with you.
He just brought up such a heavy piece here. If you're having weekly meetings, even if it's monthly, you got to come to the meeting with one new idea on how to make us a better company.
We heard something perfect yesterday. I thought it was brilliant. We were in a webinar of some sort, and someone mentioned that the way you ask the question.
Yeah.
And you know what, if you own this business, there's one thing you would change today, what would that be?
Yeah.
He gets more response by asking that specific type question.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just is what do you think we need to do to improve? Yeah. So I thought that was brilliant when I heard that yesterday.
Let's take a look at this from Facebook. What happens when you already know you need to organize and establish processes and procedures? You're understaffed and don't seem to find the time. Take one process at a time, I guess. But where do you exactly start? From Marin Automotive in California. What do you think, guys?
The very first starting process you ought to put in place would be a telephone answering procedure. That's your first customer touch point. Everyone should be answering the phone exactly the same way. So build you a telephone procedure. That's your start. That's your first touch point. The next touch point then would be the customer greeting process. That's changed these days with COVID, but still there's a process. So, it is one step at a time. Start with the simpler ones. I think the easiest one is just go through each touch point of the customer. Develop a process at each touch point.
I agree too.
And again, bullet points. You don't need to write big paragraphs. Make bullet points and checklists. That's good enough to start with. Joe, do you agree with that?
I agree 100%. Let me just say something, though, and I want to piggyback on what you're saying, Kevin, because you're dead on. When you're too involved in the day-to-day operations, you really see things from a different vantage point.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have to force yourself, because I know what it is. I've been in business a long time, and I've been in this industry a long time. I know how it is to be overwhelmed on a daily basis where those 8-hour days turn into 14-hour days, turn into 7 days. I understand all that. But if you don't look yourself in the mirror and say, what am I going to do today to change my life? It's not going to be done. So you got to force yourself to get out of the bays, into your office, sit down and say, what am I going to do? What's most important in my life? Because what I'm doing now is not working. Because if you don't have, if you're telling yourself right now, I don't have any time to work on what you guys are saying today, then that's not a good thing. But I get it. I get where you are. I do get it. I've been there. But you have to make that bold move. Even if it's 10 minutes for the first week, 15 minutes for the second week, right?
I was just going to say the same, Joe. Just start off slow. Schedule yourself 30 minutes this week. Just sometime find 30 minutes this week to work on the business, to work on just 30 minutes of nothing else but working on maybe that one procedure you want to write.
That's it.
Next month, try to get that up to an hour a week, 2 hours a week. And then that's how this progresses. You just can't turn the switch on and off. And anyone thinks you can do that is they're fooling themselves. You just don't do it that way. You've got to graduate into it.
I think being understaffed and overwhelmed is actually a very good place to be to start this process, because that's where the gas is on, right? That's when the four barrels are opened up. That's when the fuel's flowing and you're in the mix. You see what's going on. And then stop and just ask your team, what little team you have, big team, doesn't matter. Ask those questions. Hey guys, the lowest hanging fruit, where are our bottlenecks? We've got bottlenecks. What are you aggravated about in this shop? And start there. And then that starts, like Joe said earlier, they see that response start happening. They see changes. Be responsive. If you're going to ask the question, follow up.
That's the secret there, Chris.
You got to follow up.
Follow through or your credibility is out the window. You'll never get another suggestion.
If you're going to just talk about it and scratch your head about it and do this, then that's what you're going to get.
Put your rep on the line. Do it. And, Joe makes such a great point about leadership and cultivating your people and yourself. It starts with you, the owner. Don't ask and you not do.
Yeah. Right, Calm. Yeah.
I think the other thing too, I call them remarkable results radio grass cutting days, and sometimes they're George Strait days. So sometimes I love cutting grass, and I put my headphones on and I put my buds in, and sometimes I want to hear, all my exes live in Texas, and sometimes I want to listen to a group of guys talk about what I could do better. If you just get one little idea, something sparks your mind, this whole time is worth it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anybody who's down to that two or three day work week, they know that they can walk away because the systems are in play.
And I got to tell you something, Carm, believe it or not, and this was by accident, but my business exploded when I got an outside office. It's just like being a coach. People say, how do you see that? Well, I have very clear eyes from the outside looking in, right? Yep. I mean, very clear eyes. When you got all this surrounding, all this chaos around you, your vision's blurred. It truly is. So that's why you got to step away from that once in a while. I promise your business will prosper from it.
You got to work one day a week from home.
There you go.
That's a game changer, Carm. That is a game changer.
It is a game changer. And it does two things. Look at the confidence it puts in your people, too, because we learn from mistakes. We don't learn from our successes. So when they got a hiccup and they got to deal with it without the boss, boy, can't they puff their chest out and feel good about that, right?
Yeah, they get all the credit. Give them all the credit. Yep.
Let's do a couple of system things, Kevin, that you brought about. You talked about inventory, digital tabs. I love the digital tab idea.
Chris, why don't you go ahead and take that? Because you use them specifically in a great way.
I think it's important to have your workstations. And this is just my opinion. We had everybody's workstation was kind of set up the way they thought it should be set up. And you're not always at your workstation. You may need to grab the phone and you'll be at another workstation. What we found was we set every workstation the same, the tabs the same, the resources the same. So it does not matter where you are in the building, you're going to go to a computer and it's going to look like the other. I think being digitally organized is huge. We have 9 different third parties that are functioning off of our software to support us. And you got to know where to look, you know? And
I think that consistency you're talking about is important, whether it's digital or paper. Honestly.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The tabs are in the same place every time. The stapler's in the same place every time. I know that sounds silly, but you talk about productivity gains. It comes from that kind of consistency. The stapler's always in the right spot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everything's organized. The more organized you are, the more replicable you are to grow your business to another location.
I don't think this should come from the owner or the manager. I think this should be a collective effort. I think you should involve your team in these are great huddle conversations. Huddle conversations.
I agree.
And don't be discouraged if your team doesn't respond at first, because remember, most times they haven't been asked these questions. They haven't been asked for input. So at first, it takes a while to get it, but the more you do it, the more frequently you ask these questions, the more frequently they see you make changes when they make suggestions, the more you're going to get.
Hey, guys, let me ask you the question on the power of doing shop tours with your peers. Doesn't that help you start, get motivated, continue to improve?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. By walking into someone's shop, you can see their pros and their cons. You can see what's working, what's not working. And that'll just stimulate things, because when you're always in your own world, you tend to stay in your own world. So, and the first step is to get out of like Kevin said, to get out of that shop environment and get your own office somewhere at home or at a coffee shop somewhere. But yeah, the shop tours and visiting other shops, even if it's local, even if it's coming around visiting local,
I'd like to see them try first show. I'd like to see them try tour their own shop first. You go tour your own shop, just like you go tour someone else's shop. There's what I'm talking about, recognizing.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah.
Start touring your own shop.
Yeah, you could probably find a lot of things wrong right there and things to fix right there. Yeah.
You know, from the time you drive into the parking lot to the time you walk out the delivery of the car,
you don't see things after a while. You don't see the wall that needs painting. You don't see the light bulbs that are out. You know, you don't see those things after a while.
When you go take a shop tour somewhere else, well, you're looking at every little detail, are you not?
Yeah, do the same thing in your own shop. I agree.
Do it in your own shop first. You know, utilize your own time for your own shop first.
Good point. I agree.
A couple of weeks ago, guys, we did a show at Town Hall Academy called Four Corner, Four Wall. It was about the managers of the other shops doing a quick going for the meeting, the weekly meeting. And while they were going into this shop, and it was at a different shop every week, they gave their eyeball look at the place. It's humbling to realize what other people can see about your own place. We tend to see the dirty counter or the magazines. I know there's no magazines out anymore, but you know, the grass and the cracks and the pothole that wasn't fixed. We see it every day. We don't necessarily know that it has gone bad on us.
I have clients that set up a checklist that they have a weekly checklist, monthly checklist. For that reason, when you're around it all the time, you don't recognize it. If you got a checklist, you got to look in the corners of the lounge and check it off. Well, even though it seems it's one more step, it really isn't, because you're on top of it all the time.
Chris, in your notes to me, you said something so interesting. You said, and I'd like you to expound on this. I think we've been talking about it. The problem is shop owners have trouble seeing stupid stuff with clean eyes.
This was a very recent event And I'm gonna use the key drop. We have a key drop that we put in 10 years ago. Nice door and the folders and put your keys in. The hole was cut in the building, and you stick the paper through, and it fell on the floor, and it was safe, and you could see where to get. Not everybody puts their keys in the pouch. A lot of customers just push their keys through because we've had a conversation and they don't feel the need to do that. So these keys were falling into a trough of, is it like a black hole? And I'm out there looking for some keys one day, a very expensive set of keys. And I just kind of look up at the ceiling and I look back at this spigot and this dirty hole. And I'm like, what in the heck am I doing? I'm like, I've been doing this for 10 freaking years. And so I got with a couple of technicians and I said, can we fab up some little sliding board here and just, make this nice and neat and clean? And I'm like, and we did that afternoon. Problem was solved. And it's like, and I, every time I walk by that little sliding board, I go, how stupid can I be? I mean, it's just stupid stuff. And I could just tell you one right after the other. I started working in this shop in 1978, changing tires and changing oil. And we were just reactive. We just reacted.
So what do you try to do? Do you try to take that moment that you did this discovery and say, I got to do more of these?
Yes. Yes. All of this stuff, Carm, is it, one thing just leads to another, leads to another. So it's not one thing that's going to make or break you or save you or make you super efficient. It's cumulative.
So when you have that V8 moment, guys, you got to have another and another and another, and that gets you going. Guys, let's talk about this whole process and systems from the customer's perspective. And think about what's happened with COVID and how all of that all of a sudden changed. And we almost had to redo how our whole customer service thing worked. And again, from the eyes of the customer, it's got to be so powerful.
I tell you, I'm going to speak to with myself and my clients. Everybody is taking this year as a time to hit a major reset. And all of my clients have been in the middle of renovations, improving processes. We talk about this a lot and everybody's busy. And so it's like one week to the next. It's like, what'd you do this week to make your shop more efficient? What'd you do to make things better? That's great. But then you got to stop and pat yourself on the back as a shop owner. When you do these things, get your team together and acknowledge it. The end result is, to your point, Carmen, I think what you're trying to say is the experience for the customer is what we're trying to create. Something, how does your schedule work? When you schedule somebody at 10, do you get them in at 10? Do you set the expectation? And that happens. And can you be assured that expectation will be met? Because your team can back you up, because they're not going to the other end of the shop to use a vise, or three people have to open a door and lift a car to get it, whatever the case may be. It's just all these cumulative things.
So here's what I just heard from Chris when he sits down with his clients. Again, he's a part-time coach for Elite Worldwide. It seems to be so interesting that when you have an accountability partner, can I put that in air quotes? And you say, what did you do this week too? I know that I got to sit down with Joe or Kevin or Chris each week, each month. I'm not sure what your cycle is, and tell you something. I think there's the power of not only, I don't know what I don't know from a coaching perspective, because you know how much I value coaches in this industry, but to be able to push me to get things done and to hold me accountable for something. And with all that said, guys, if you know you have a client with poor systems and they need to make those great business, but poor systems, do you force that accountability thing to make sure things are getting done? If you don't kick them in the butt, they won't do it.
I think that's 90% of the why clients hire coaches, Carm. Let's face it, information's everywhere, right? You can get information anywhere, quite frankly. But that accountability factor is the most important, because as a business owner, there's no one holding you accountable. So I've always said that the most important aspect of coaching, in my opinion, is the accountability factor. They don't want it sometimes. Don't misunderstand. Clients don't want, they say they want it. When you try to hold them accountable, they don't really want it, but they really do. They really do need it. And I think that's an important part.
a business coach is the same as a athletic coach, football sure. coach, tennis coach. It's the same thing. We're not going to do the job for them. We can't build the systems for them. We can't, just as a coach, cannot get in on the field and play the game for the player. But what we can do, and we should do, is, like Kevin said, hold them accountable. In other words, a football coach is going to say, did you spend 1 hour in the weight room? Did you run your 10 miles this week? Did you study those plays? And then the coach will keep them accountable. It's the same thing as a business coach. We have to set those ground rules, set those parameters, and then do our best to hold them accountable. But they have to do the work. And once they do the work, they take ownership of it and they feel good about themselves. And that's when we come in and that's when we praise them and say, that's a great job. Even though we pushed them that way, you always give the credit to the client because they're doing the actual work.
It's much like trying to get a big, heavy airplane off the ground. That airplane is consuming so much fuel and there's so much involved in the lift. But once that plane gets up, the controls and the effort is just so much easier. I've got a client that the runway, we were about to run out of runway. I mean, we just kept going. I was like, you got to pull back. We got to. And then he starts flying his business and oh my gosh. You know, it's more and more and more. And he's doing things to make his shop more efficient and it's making his life easier. You know, and it's not me. It's not me. It's him.
A good coach gives information, right? Eye, direction, encouragement, and accountability. Yeah. And quite frankly, that if you use the idea method of coaching is, you know, we can give him information, we can give him direction, we can encourage him, and we can hold him accountable, but we can't do it for him.
No, not supposed to.
Yep.
How cool. Hey, Bill Hill says once you open your eyes, it can increasingly be powerful for you and your staff, and your staff grows in the process. They see things and start to become proactive. And Marianne basically said it, celebrate the wins.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're big into that. Celebrate the wins.
Doesn't matter how small it is. Celebrate the wins.
Celebrate the wins.
There was a point in time when we were traveling that the world of the elite customers would go to California and you would do a class, I believe, every year. What was it called?
Well, we did it 3 times a year, Fly with the Eagles. And we're going to do one in February 16th through 19th, virtual, because of COVID. But we're still doing it. And I'm hoping to get back to doing it live 3 times a year. It's a powerful. Kevin does it with me. He helps me with it. And it is an amazing event. 4 days of intense topics. And the beauty of it is just not what I say up there. It's the beauty of it is the power of the Eagles course is the people, the audience, and how they come together and their interactions. But it is an amazing event. But we're going to do it virtual this February.
It's amazing. You get to know so many people in the industry. And then, oh, you had Marconi on your thing. I went to that class on the Eagles. And, you know, and I remember that stuff. And so I needed to ask you guys if it's still going on. Obviously not. But you're continuing it virtually. Good news. Hey, Chris, thanks for bringing this topic. I all the bullet points, we never covered them all because there's so many things, Kevin, you brought about processes and systems. But hopefully what we did, you guys did, is motivate our listeners who will listen to this, you know, in the future as a podcast and be able to see the video and get inspired. Get inspired by saying, I got to get off my duff and do something as simple as, I love this. How do you greet the customer? How do you answer the phone? And if you could document that with your team and they buy in and they own this with you, then you take the next step. And sooner or later, you've got an infection, I believe.
There you go.
Yeah.
You have to be patient with yourself, but don't let patience get confused with being complacent, right? You got to take little bitty steps. Every week, take a little bitty step and just try something. If it works, great. Move on. If it doesn't, try something else.
I love it. Hey, wait, we got, let me see here. Tina, Elite and Fly with the Eagles is incredible training, increased $1 million. They helped me save my shop when my husband passed away. Tina, great story. Wow. Tina, maybe you need to come on the show and share that with all of us.
Yeah.
I got to tell a real quick story about Tina. We're doing the Fly with the Eagles, and Joe's standing up there and he says, we're talking about equipment, whether customers care about equipment or not, the branded equipment. And Joe says, who knows? Well, he says, like, who knows what kind of tools your dentist is using in your mouth? And Tina's sitting in the front row and she says, it's a such and such. And he looks at her and says, how do you know? you know that? And she says, I used to be a dental hygienist. So, it's a joke. It's a running joke now. Whenever Joe stands up and says, well, who cares about their equipment? And then we always laugh about Tina because Tina,
yeah.
That's,
yeah, that was fine.
Kevin, your final words for the group.
I just think that the most important thing is to back yourself up and look at it from the outside in. I think that you, as I said before, take a personal tour of your own shop first. Look at your own processes and look at it from the very moment you pull in the parking lot to go through all the touch points until you leave the parking lot. So I just think you gotta stand back and have clear eyes in order to fix anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much. Great job. Great job, Joe. Final words?
Yeah, I'm going back to the people aspect. It starts and ends with people. You got to have the right people in place. And when you have the right people, you got to take care of them. You got to encourage them, praise them. You got to get their input. Why do they get up in the morning and drive to your business and go to work? You know, find that out and find out what's important to them. How can they help production and efficiency? They have a lot of questions and a lot of answers for you. You have to empower your people to be able to, like the Japanese did, Toyota did back in the 50s when they first was coined the stop the line process, where they knew that something is wrong there. That don't look at quotas so much, look at quality. And look at the quality. Sometimes we want to shave 5 minutes off an oil change, shave 10 minutes off of a brake job. But, you know, if you look at the quality aspect of it, it'll come into place anyway. So look for ways to become more efficient and more productive, but don't think in terms of quota and hours as opposed to quality. Like, what is because the quality of the product, the end product is not built on any quality control system at the end. The quality of the product or your repair or services determines by the quality of the process every step of the way. And that can only happen when you get your people involved. So I'm a big believer in leadership and a big believer in getting people involved. Technology is great. Embrace it. But technology is not going to take the place of having the right team on the field that executes properly.
Thank you for that. And to your point, you know, you talk about, well, let's shave 5 minutes off a brake job or an oil change or something like that. But if somebody followed the principles you guys talked about today, where's the ladder, where's the vice, how many steps am I taking, you'll have it. Absolutely right.
Understaffed, overwhelmed, when your back's against the wall, that is actually a blessing. That's a blessing. Pay attention to those moments, because I think as shop owners, we are at our best there. It doesn't feel that way, but we are. Be thankful for those times. You'll come out really strong.
Yeah.
Great advice. Thanks. Chris Monroe, Monroe Tire and Service, Shelby, North Carolina. Joe Marconi, Osceola Garage, Baldwin Place, New York. Kevin Vaught, Elite Worldwide Business Development Coach, former multi-shop owner. And Joe and Chris are also coaches with Elite. Guys, thank you so, so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for
having a great time. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.